Mama, we all go to hell. Mama, we all go to hell. I'm writing this letter and wishing you well. Mama, we all go to hell.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 22 of the Film Club podcast. My name is Jason.
And I am Rudy.
Yeah. Back to the roots, me and Rudy.
Yeah.
Writing duel. But on this week's episode, we're going to be finally reviewing Mama. That's about it. That's the main focus of our episode. So what's been going on in Rudy Land?
In Rudy Land, Estrella Negra, that's what's been going on.
Yeah.
A whole lot of Estrella Negra. And not just the restaurant, even the music. Like, actually, that's why I couldn't come on Monday, because I was at the practice on Monday. And it was actually a really energized practice, and I actually was able to sing a couple of songs alongside with the band, and it was really cool. Unfortunately, I can't be at two places at once, so... Mm-hmm. You know, I could either be only managing the restaurant. Or...
Well, we could have did it that day, but I was just like...
Oh, no. I was just talking about Estrella Negra in general.
Yeah.
Because, like, it was such a good band practice that... and I enjoyed, like, singing what I sang and, like, the performance level of it that it made me really want to, like, I kind of want to be a part of this more. But it's kind of, you know, hard right now because, like, Alto and I both can't be... at a show and like I was a little sad that I wasn't able to record the podcast on Monday, but you know what? It just built up the momentum for right now,
yeah,
which I was late to anyway. But yeah, no, everything's been pretty good. I've been pretty content, pretty happy, just really busy at work and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yourself, Jay?
Same thing, I guess. It's been kind of like an up and down week. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, like, I just have to give you shit for, like, being at an ice cream place in the middle of winter in Chicago.
Yeah, well, I'm just happy to have a job.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But still.
I think it's a sweet deal, you know?
Like, yeah,
hang out,
it is.
Go on you the internet and do whatever anything. I want.
Yeah.
I listen to podcasts. But no, I mean, you were asking about it earlier.
Like, oh, yeah, you bet.
Yeah, my dad. Like, I've been making it a point to get rid of the credit cards, and you know, I don't owe a lot of money. It was going kind of smoothly. I'm in the process of paying one of my credit cards off, and the plan was to soon pay another credit card off. What are you doing?
I'm trying to get rid of my gum.
That's disgusting. Like, what's going on? I was trying to pay, well, whatever. I was getting rid of the credit card debt, and you know, I'm in the process of doing that right now. And I'm at work the other day, and I get a call from my mom saying some fucking sheriff came to my house to like serve me papers. You know, you've been served. Like, I have a court date basically for Chase, because I owe Chase. Not a lot. I owed him like $1,000, but what? I just
no, not a lot. Just $1,000.
No, no. Yeah. I mean, as far as credit card debt, you know, you hear people who get like max out like a $2,000-$3,000 credit line. Look, fortunately, that wasn't the case for me. I had a $750. Whatever. I don't want to get into the details, but yeah, it's been like ups and downs. Like, it just sucks because in 2 weeks' time, I was planning on like calling them and figuring that out. And then this happens, like, when I'm already, you know, so it kind of sucks. Like, I think life is kind of like that. You, like, feel good about something. You want to do something. The sheriff
comes knocking your door.
Yeah, and then something bad happens, and it's kind of like, oh, man, like, I'm trying to fix this. Just
so what would happen if you were here?
Oh, no, it was just papers. It was just saying I have a court date. They're basically suing me. So, no. I mean, it's not that bad now. I just, my income tax is on the way, and I was going to use most of it to pay a bill off. Now I have to use it all for Chase, and it kind of sucks because I was going to save some of it for San Francisco in the summer. So now I'm not going to be able to save anything, but it's fine. It doesn't really affect much. It's just $400 that I wasn't expecting to have to pay. I do now, so okay. It is what it is.
Yeah, $400 is not that bad.
Yeah.
You could work it out. You could... regain it again.
I knew I wouldn't get off that easy from these bills. Like, I'm like, this is so sweet. I'll be done by March. Which I still will be, but just I'll be more broke than I want to be. And I've been broke.
You only have worth as much as your mind and hand can handle.
Yeah.
And you seem pretty capable in both avenues. You'll be all right, Jay.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. But yeah, do you want to get into Mama?
Oh, Mama.
So Mama, Rudy's most anticipated film of 2013.
It was.
So I think you should take the reins on this.
Yeah, I'll take the fucking reins on it. Guillermo.
What's up? Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro, you bastard. Why are you putting your name on crap? Yeah. It has me wondering how great the fucking Pacific Rim is going to be. Cause, okay, anyways. Mama. Okay, so what interested me in Mama, first of all, is a horror film. And, you know, I just love horror films in general, so I easily get excited about any horror film that looks like it has potential. And this one looks like it had a good amount of potential, you know?
Yeah.
Girls, you know, who get adopted and they're being haunted by a mother spirit, and which I thought was a very intriguing idea. You know what I mean? Just the whole idea of, like, a mother's undying love and just following her children everywhere, even after death. It was like, you know, this is really meaty. This is really juicy. I mean, it's like, first of all, you know, just the mother figure is just an international thing. Like, anyone could, like, easily grasp, you know, mothers. You know, everyone appreciates Mama.
Yes.
And,
okay.
I guess just a little bit off note, I want to bring up, like, at Red Lobster, for instance. Like, we are more busy, well, when we were at Red Lobster, we were more busy on Mother's Day than we were Father's Day. It just seems like Father's Day just like, I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? But, like, Mama, yeah. I got to make sure we got to take Mama to Red Lobster. You know, and those were fucking busy as days. Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, and I'm just personally intrigued by the whole mother theme, myself personally, so, you know, you have the makings for a really interesting ghost story, and, oh man, did it suck.
You really didn't like it at all?
I was just like dying for this thing to be over. Yeah. Like, oh, please just be over. Okay, so where do we begin on where this thing went wrong? Well, first of all, I was fairly late. I mean, I still saw the beginning.
Oh, no.
I saw the part where the father took off the girl's glasses. It's like, I guess he was about to shoot her. So apparently he just finished killing their mother.
Yes.
So he was a murderer. So why did he do that?
What?
Why did he kill their mother in the first place?
He was
just a psycho.
No, he found his wife like cheating with somebody, so he killed like the wife.
She was a slut.
Yeah, she was cheating, and he killed her. And then, you know, he fled with his kids, and they eventually crashed, and they came upon the house, and I guess, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know. Well, I mean, in the movie, like, the main male actor.
His brother.
It's his brother. So, like, he has a twin. Yeah.
They play by the same actor.
Yeah, the same actor plays
him. I thought they looked really nice. Like, oh, I thought I just saw this guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, and I remember the part right before the ghost mother attacks this killer father figure, that the little girl who he takes the glasses off, the older of the two girls, the two main girls in the movie, she saw Mama floating, like, outside. Like, I didn't see that part, but was that part creepy? When, like, she says that? Did they even show that?
I don't recall that.
Oh, okay. Okay, so the story just felt really disjointed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just, like, improperly focused. You know, so it was just like, you know what I mean?
I just felt the story was just not very good.
Yeah.
I didn't really have a problem with like it feeling disjointed, but I just didn't like the story.
Well, I mean, it felt imbalanced to me because like I felt like it didn't help you encourage you to feel anything for these characters, because I didn't give a shit about any of these characters, especially for Jessica Chastain's character.
Chastain,
whatever.
Well, they did a horrible job.
With
no, her yeah, character. She wasn't all right, but
they did a horrible job.
Just the way her character was, it felt like a
little bitch.
No, it's not a bitch. Like, I mean, whatever. She's playing a character who's in kind of a rock band, and this is not what she wants. She doesn't. Yeah. Wanted to be a mother. Like when you first see her character, she has like a pregnancy test and she's happy that she's not pregnant, but like just the way they did her, I mean, it didn't bug me too much because I did get what they were going for, but it felt like really generic the way they made her character. Even her interactions with her friend who's in a rock band, they're like, it's like the typical emo goth chick or something. Yeah, it was weird. Definitely.
And it's such a huge difference from seeing Jessica Chastain, whatever, from Zero Dark Thirty, which she was phenomenal in, to this one, where it's like she totally, like a different character, like you barely unrecognizable because she was like this emo fucking goth. Fucking
I didn't think she was hot terrible. Topic
fucking
I didn't think
child.
She was bad, like really bad.
Well, she wasn't bad, but she wasn't given enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like she was just like pretty much two dimensional.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just don't think her performance, the performance itself was not that bad. Because I didn't think the movie surrounding it was very good. And I was actually excited to see that actor. I can't recall his name, but I really like him. He's in Game of Thrones. And then I don't want to spoil it, but he disappears for, he's not like even in the movie, hardly.
Oh, spoil it. This fucking movie is horrible anyway.
No, I don't want to spoil it for you.
Well, I'll spoil it.
Don't spoil it. I think we're doing a bad job like spoiling a lot of movies lately. I want to.
Have we gotten an audience? Complaints?
No one probably listened, so of course we didn't get any complaints. But no. I think we should do a better job not spoiling things, because I'm the type of person who listens to podcasts.
Well,
even if I haven't seen a movie,
just to show my sheer disappointment with this movie, I'm going to share this shit. So
there's nothing like phenomenal to spoil. So spoil anything?
Exactly, there's nothing phenomenal to spoil.
Yeah, but
so
people haven't seen the movie and want to listen to our episodes.
I just
want
to say
they should like, have the right.
That was very very terrible. Like how convenient that they're gonna take his character, you know, Jessica Chastain's fucking boyfriend, you know, the uncle of these girls who they take in to foster, in foster care. Like how convenient that they just knock him out and like he's in the hospital for a good portion of the movie.
I don't think it's convenient. I think the.
It's just terribly contrived. You know what I mean?
I guess. I mean, what was the reason? I mean, they were doing it for a reason, obviously.
To have Jessica Chase's character alone with the girls and the ghosts.
Yeah.
I just thought it was, like, terribly fucking shallow.
I guess, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, I guess we could get into the mama, the actual ghost character. I mean... Yeah, you know, she definitely was creepy, but then when you finally get to see her full on, it was just like just full on CGI. It just took so much away. It's like, oh, really? It's like, I'm not fucking scared by this shit. This is fucking fake as fuck, you know?
The fakeness didn't bother me too much. It was more like just the design choice of how she looks and everything I didn't like. Like that character had so much capacity to be like really scary, really creepy, and they didn't utilize that at all.
The best they could do with a fucking wig fucking floating on the fucking ground, then it just comes attack. Like, that's the best you could do? Like, oh, you guys suck.
I mean, I thought the part where the uncle kind of gets taken out of the film for a while, that scared me when she like kind of comes out the wall. But there wasn't that many scares here. No, like, it could have been so much scarier.
It could definitely have been so much scarier. I don't remember being scared by, like, not one moment in that fucking film.
Yeah. What do you think of the girls?
The girls were fine.
I thought they were fine, yeah.
They're fine. I definitely like the contrast you have between, you know, the older one was Victoria, the younger one's Lily. No, Lily and Victoria? Well, whatever. Victoria and Lily. I just forget which one's the older, which one's the younger one.
Victoria. I think Victoria was
the older.
The older one. I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I just thought it was really interesting how, like, Victoria, even though she was still young, she was still old enough to, like, you know, have, like, normal skills, as opposed to the younger one, who she was just too young to, like...
Yeah, she was much more damaged because of
how
early it started with her, like, living that life where they, whatever, out in the wilderness, surviving off the land, I guess.
Yeah, she's definitely much more primitive of the two.
Yeah.
Even after they got adopted. And I thought that was really interesting. That was really cool how they handled that.
Yeah.
But there's not much to be said about this film, positive.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really feel much for it. I'm finding it hard to, like, figure out what to say. Figure out what to say, because I don't have strong feelings one way or the other. I mean, I definitely did not like it.
I'm extremely disappointed because, like, again, you know, as Dave's pointed out, it's my number one film. That's only because
I was worried, you know, like, these, especially, I mean, even the ones that Del Toro has directed, like, they feel like they have this overproduced quality. And I don't think this one had that problem. I mean, maybe that problem was there with, like, the design of the mama character.
Yeah.
But, I mean, overall, I don't think it's as overproduced as Don't Be Afraid of the Dark was. But I would actually probably got more out of that one than I got out of this one.
Really?
Yeah, because I really liked that little girl.
Yeah.
Who's in Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. So that was enough for me, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, the whole side thing with, like, the shrink, I didn't like.
Horrible. I mean, just like, oh, let's put you in this big house just because I want to study you more and study the girls more. Like, I just thought that was just, like, really, like, whatever. I mean, come on, Guillermo. Like, I respected you. I mean,
I'm not going to blame it. Like, people are acting like he has anything to do. He just presented it. He didn't do anything.
Slap your name. If you're going to fucking slap your name on something.
He does it for the money. Like, he's been doing it now. Like... His name means something to people.
They take the fucking responsibility. You should have... If you could slap your name on something, you better make sure it's fucking quality shit.
Well, maybe he's not as... Quality. He's not as great of a man as we once thought.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, Pan's Labyrinth... I mean, compared to this fucking movie, it's a fucking masterpiece.
I actually kind of did a 180. I mean, when Pan's Labyrinth came out, I was a little disappointed. But then... I didn't see it in its entirety again, but then seeing it again, I'm like, I just kind of changed my mind. I'm like, this is a pretty amazing movie.
I mean, there's definitely so many great aspects of Two Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
There's actually so many reasons to like this movie, like Pan's Labyrinth. But for Mama, which, you know, I mean, you know, Guillermo did not direct. He just forked over some money or...
Well, Mama's based, you know, it's based on the...
On a short film. Awesome.
Awesome, despite a really terrible ending. And I actually did, like, there was a part in the movie that perfectly emulates the short film. Yeah. And I thought, I'm like, this is pretty cool that they're doing that. And I guess the guy who made that film made this film as well.
Yeah.
So, it's his fault, too. It's based on his thing, I guess.
Did he write it?
I'm sure he did. I don't know. I'm not sure who wrote it.
I'm just disappointed with every aspect of this film.
Mm. But even Guillermo, I mean, I do like Guillermo a lot. But, like, I don't know. Like, I mean, Pacific Rim looks like a lot of fun, and I'm really excited about it, but it looks like a movie that's just dumb fun, you know? And for Guillermo, like, the movies I like of his, Pan's Labyrinth and Devil's Backbone, like, I want something more along those lines. And his next film after that is... supposed to be his haunted house film. So, like, his horror movie, not him presenting a horror movie. So hopefully that's of a different, much higher quality. Nah, I don't know. I don't know what it's called, but they said that's his next film after Pacific Rim. So that's kind of cool.
Well, yeah, well, he's always attached to, like, different things, and then, like, he's, like, always falling off of them, or they just don't fall through or whatever. So it's like, to me, it just makes him seem like a really fickle guy, which is probably not his fault, but still. But it was awesome to meet him.
yeah, we did meet him after seeing Pan's Labyrinth. That was really cool.
Yeah.
We took pictures and the pictures didn't come out.
Yeah.
But whatever, we had the memory of meeting him.
Well, yeah, and then he did sign a couple of things for us.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
you still have. You have both.
Yeah.
Like, I think I took a copy of...
I think he signed My Devil's Backbone.
Yeah.
And he signed, like, the booklet of Old Boy or something like that.
No, Hellboy.
Hellboy. I just said Old Boy.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I think we should get off Del Toro. He doesn't have that much to do with this movie, I don't think.
But he is giving us extra minutes on this, so
I still have things to talk about.
Oh yeah, we'll go.
Oh, it doesn't matter. We're not done talking about the movie.
Well, yeah, wanna... the movie fucking
it is what
balls.
It is on the movie. Like,
I was fucking disappointed as fuck.
Yeah.
You know, I had high standards for it. I probably shouldn't have. I really gotta stop going with my heart on these fucking films. I mean, you know, I like I said, I get excited about horror films. You know, horror films are, you know, mean a lot to me. And it's been a while since I've seen a really good horror film. I am still holding out hope for the remake of Carrie, which, you know, I probably shouldn't have too much hope for, because remakes fucking generally suck nowadays anyway. Carrie and Evil Dead, which, you know, I have good reason to be hopeful for that, right?
Yeah. No, Evil Dead looks good. I mean,
have you seen the trailer for it?
I've seen a trailer. Yeah, I haven't seen like that Red Band trailer that came out, or I did. I don't know. It does look very good. It's not really like Evil Dead, but whatever. I'm not a big Evil Dead fan, yeah. So.
But
yeah,
I'm just hoping it's scary. I just want to.
I think it's just going to be really brutal and yeah. That's about it. Like, the Evil Dead movies are, like, really inventive as far as, like, camera work. And it seems like they're doing that same thing, but there's also, like, a silliness to it, and you could tell. Which is cool. Like, if they're going to remake the movie, it's cool. Like, why stick to that same tone? Like, yeah. Do something different.
Yeah.
But it just looks like a hardcore horror movie.
Army of Dead is, like, such a drastically different movie, though. Compared to like Evil Dead 1 and Evil Dead 2.
Yeah. Evil Dead 2 is pretty damn silly, but it's not nearly as silly as Army of Darkness.
Yeah, I mean, Army of Darkness has like time travel and is medieval and just like in your face comedic.
Yeah.
I mean, Army of Darkness I'm really fond of because like it's just something I remember strongly from my childhood.
Yeah. But all right, so let's want to end the Mama discussion.
Yeah.
sorry, keep getting sidetracked.
What are your
final
comments on Mama?
I don't know. I wasn't really looking forward to it too much. I was a little hopeful because, I mean, I did enjoy the short film, but I wasn't invested in the story. I was disappointed to see the one guy kind of taken away and not being the main point of the film because I was excited to see him. I just didn't really like the story. Too much. The girls were fine, but it wasn't very scary, and I didn't think it was a necessarily good ghost story. But then that's the thing about these movies. Like, the really good ones are just really solid ghost stories. You know, like The Changeling, or even The Orphanage is a good ghost story, but whatever.
That's a very good ghost story.
But yeah, the movie just didn't have that, and it didn't have the scares to go along with it, which that's what I was hoping for, so...
Yeah, but yeah, that's like the main thing you want from a scary movie. It's like at least scare me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm trying to think of, I mean, I guess Sinister would probably be the last relatively good scary movie that like instilled some scares in me.
Yeah, it was scary. I mean, Sinister's not a perfect movie, but I love that movie, so yeah.
But like, all right. besides Sinister... What's the next scary movie that's like recent?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like...
I mean, there's not a lot of mainstream horror films that come out nowadays, so...
There is it.
Yeah.
Well,
all right, so what your rating? I've given it a 2 out of 5.
Okay. Give it a 1.5.
All right.
Fuck you.
That sounds right.
Fuck you, Mama. Fuck you, Mama. Yeah. Not my mama. But
so what we watched.
Mama.
What we watched. You want to go first or you want me to go first?
No, you can go first.
All right. So I saw The Last Stand. Actually, it was like a back-to-back. you know, Last Stand wasn't great, but it was a pretty fun movie.
But
had a nice group of characters.
A lot more enjoyable than Mama was.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, it was funny because like Cynthia did not want to see that movie, and we saw Bo, and then she ended up not liking Mama and getting a lot more enjoyment out of Last Stand. But
so you saw Mama first and then the Last Stand?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That definitely makes sense why. So it's like, oh my god, what a fucking sucky movie. Finally, something to grasp on.
It was good, like, you know, Arnold's back, and I actually thought he was really good. He's you know, he's dialed down. He's not the same Arnold. He's old. He could barely string together a sentence. Like, the guy just cannot talk. And you could kind of tell that he's kind of rusty, but I really liked the movie. It was really violent, which is kind of expected, given the guy who directed it.
Who directed it?
The Kim Ji-won guy, the guy who directed I Saw the Devil and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's his debut. So that, I was excited, but then it also seemed kind of weird him doing this weird Hollywood action movie
after
doing all these really good Korean films. Like, from him to go to that doesn't seem right.
Yeah,
whereas, you know, like Chan-Woo Park with Stoker, that seems appropriate. Like,
yeah.
And this just seemed kind of out of nowhere, but I do think his involvement is what helped make The Last Stand like an enjoyable watch, you know. But it's also kind of, I don't know, like the movie goes back and forth between like FBI, because I mean the main story is just there's this guy who's a big like drug lord and he's getting transferred and they break him out, give him this badass car, so he's just basically in this badass car going to the border, and he's eventually gonna come upon this town where Arnold is the sheriff of. And it's about him and like his ragtag team of guys.
Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, Johnny Knoxville, who's barely in the fucking movie. Yeah. Like, he's probably in the movie for like 15 minutes.
Wow.
Total running time. But, and he was actually one of the reasons I didn't want to see the movie, because he just looked like fucking stupid. Like, he was actually enjoyable. And the violence was pretty awesome. Like, the last 30 minutes, because like the movie jumps back and forth between the FBI and, you know, Forrest Whitaker's like an FBI guy who's, you know, trying to coordinate all this crap. So that I didn't like, how it keep on going back and forth. But once like the last half hour where it stays in the town and you get the big action set piece and stuff, I thought it was really enjoyable. So it's worth a watch. It's not great, but it's worth a watch. Let's see. I won't get into it, but I finally started watching Arrested Development because Robert recommended it. And, you know, I know it's supposed to be a really good show. Eight episodes in, and I really do find it funny. I'm kind of taking my time, though. I'm not, like, marathoning it.
It took you for, like, Robert to recommend it? Because, like, Michael's been recommending it. Michael Fan.
Yeah.
He's been recommending it for such a long
time. Me and Michael don't have, like, our taste don't align sometimes, I guess. I mean, he's a really big comedy guy. I'm not, like, a huge comedy guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just eventually got around to it, and I am enjoying it, but I'm not, like, in a hurry to watch the next episode. But I watched one today, and it was really funny, actually.
What's the brother's name?
Which
the
one?
The glasses?
Like, the one who acts like an idiot?
Yeah.
Buster.
Is it Buster?
He's really funny.
Yeah, he's very funny.
You mean the one who's married to the woman? Or the one who's just, like, the mama's boy?
Mama's boy.
Yeah, it's Buster.
Yeah, Buster's really funny.
Yeah, this episode, he was really funny. He, like, threw himself through a window. It was pretty hilarious. Then what else did I watch? Oh, I had been meaning to watch a movie called The Hole. It's directed by Joe Dante. It never really got, like, I'm not even sure if it got a theatrical release, but it was, like, a movie that was kind of made in 3D, and it kind of reminds me of The Gate. So it's, like, it kind of has a cool 80s horror vibe, you know,
yeah,
where it's these two brothers who move into this new house, new town and everything, and there's, you know, it's the older brother who's kind of going through puberty, he's kind of an asshole to his younger brother, and then, you know, they move in and there's like a hot blonde girl next door that he likes, but it ends up being there's like this hole in their basement, like this door, and they eventually open it, and what the hole does is kind of bring out your worst fears. So for a little boy, it's like he's afraid of clowns. But then the other two older people, the little, the girl and the guy, like the things that I don't want to ruin the movie, but like the things that scare them the most. Like there's more of a backstory. They're not just something superficial like clowns, you know.
Yeah.
But it was a really fun movie.
I'm very intrigued.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
It's called The Hole.
It's called The Hole. It's really good.
When was it made?
Probably made like in 2010 or something. It just never kind of got a release. It played some like fests, and then it finally.
Well, it was pretty good.
It was good. It's definitely worth watching. Like the older boy, he's not like the greatest actor, but it's a lot of fun. It's fun, and it feels like it has that like old nostalgic feel to it. Yeah. So it's kind of cool. I started watching Silent Hill the other day, and then when I got here, I'm like, I was waiting for you to come, and I'm like, let me finish up
Revelations.
Silent Hill 3D Revelation. Didn't see it in 3D. It's fucking terrible. Yeah. It is like brutal. Like the main girl, she's just really, really bad. It's just really bad overall. The only shining point was, I'm sure you've seen it. I'm not sure if you recall it in the trailer. It was like this mannequin spider looking thing. In the trailer,
yeah.
It looks pretty badass. And, you know, it's CGI overload, but, CGI overload, but, like, the spider mannequin thing is really cool.
Wish they had in the game, no?
I mean, they had, like, in Silent Hill 2, there was a lot of mannequin-looking things that would, like, when you shoot them, they'll eventually crawl on the floor. Yeah. They'll be, like, legs. But this thing was, like, a bunch of body parts looked like a spider, but it would also be holding, like, severed heads. But I mean, it was like I said, it was CGI, but it still looked really cool, and the way it moved was pretty awesome. But the movie is just very, very bad. Like, I already said, but the main girl's horrible. The guy who's in also in Game of Thrones, he's terrible. I don't know. I mean, I think they can make a really good Silent Hill movie, but I definitely think there are problems with the story, like the actual story of the games too. Like this whole thing that has to do with the occult and like this whole religious aspect or occult aspect that I don't like about those storylines, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, it's always like Silent Hill is more about the brooding atmosphere and less about the story. I mean, that's why you got scared. It was just the actual environment.
Yeah.
Not
yeah, just from a story standpoint, it's a letdown, but I think they could build on that. But then still keep with, like, the horror vibe. Like, you know, the first movie is not perfect, but I don't think it's a terrible movie.
Yeah.
Like, at least it was kind of creepy.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of like Resident Evil, like, Silent Hill's kind of becoming the same thing. Not action-oriented, where they rely too much on what people like about it. Like, people love Pyramid Head, so they're going to throw him in every movie that there is, even though that might not be entirely appropriate. And same thing with the nurses. Like, the nurses are awesome, but, like, you're going to use the nurses every time? Like, come on. Just, like, the reason I compare it to Resident Evil, like, Resident Evil, they, like, put so much weight in their characters, so they think, like, the fans get so excited. Oh, like, Jill's in this game, and or whatever. It's like, it's just, who the fuck cares about these characters? Like, no, I mean, people do, I guess.
Yeah, I care about Joe.
Yeah, but who is Joe? Do you know who Joe is?
Yeah,
As a person, you know who Joe is. Like,
I like to think sometimes.
Did you hear the story? Like
in my dreams
about the Resident Evil, about what Capcom said about it.
What?
They want to return to the roots of what made the games great. Like, return to their horror roots. Finally, they're getting it. Hopefully, they do it. They're talking about maybe rebooting it too, which I don't know about that. But
yeah, they already did. Reboot it. How many times do you need to fucking reboot?
No, I mean, just reboot the franchise. New characters.
Oh, okay.
Same idea, just new characters and stuff like that. I mean, because, you know, the plot line of those games. I mean, yeah, they have become so convoluted. Like,
yeah.
They need to just get away from them.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And yeah, I mean, anyways, Silent Hill 3D Revelation doesn't look like a fucking mess to begin with. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, you could tell, like, it was, like, low production, like, I don't know who was responsible for making it, but you could just tell it was just more of a lower quality production. It looked like going to a haunted house, which is, you know, haunted houses are cool, but they're not the production value of a movie, you know? It's just not the same level.
Yeah, exactly. It's just cheap CGI overload. Actually, I was thinking about this today. Okay, because, like, what did well, one of the major issues I had with Mama was like the central scary figure, which is the Mama ghost figure. But like, what made her unscary or just turned me off to being scared by her was just how artificial CGI she looked. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, because like, for me personally, like if I'm gonna be scared by something, it needs to look real. Yeah. And like, you know, if I could tell it's CGI overload, then that doesn't scare me. It's just like, it's just a fucking joke.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it just got me thinking, it's like how hard, so remember, for instance, in Return of the Living Dead, they use a lot of animatronics. Like there's one zombie woman thing that she was entirely animatronic. Do you remember? It's like
The one on the bed.
Yeah.
Okay. On a hospital bed or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, like I was thinking, like they could have done something like that. And it was like, I mean, like how hard is it?
Well, how hard is it just to make a creepy looking mama? Like that's not hard. Like just make it a woman that looks scary and maybe do like some editing effects. I mean, that effect of like twitching and like moving a certain way, like that's really creepy.
Yeah, it was. But
and, I mean,
as soon as you could tell with CGI, it just loses the effect.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, okay, so like, I mean, obviously you go with CGI because you control it a lot more better, and it's probably cheaper to produce than, you know, than doing this whole animatronic dummy. Right? That's a fair assessment.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know the details of, you know, remember we talked about this to Cody, and sometimes, yeah, it is cheaper to go the CGI route. And it's something that you know, at that moment, you don't have to worry about it because they could just do it later. And there's not kind of like a time constraint probably placed
but like,
on
I
it.
Feel like it's just something that's like just so people run to so easily because.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, not to say it doesn't work. Factor. Like, I think it could have worked for Mama. It's just, I don't know. I just had a problem with the design there. Yeah. Like I said before, whatever. I'm repeating myself.
Yeah.
But with Silent Hill, it's not like, that's less of the case to hear. Like, it's not heavily relying on it. But, you know, like, there's a lot of practical effects. But what's there is just, design-wise, is just not very good. And just not, quality-wise, just not very high.
Hopefully we'll get another Silent Hill movie. If we do.
Yeah, they, like, set up for the next one, kind of.
Whatever.
With, you know, what's his name? Sean Bean kind of possibly being, like, the main protagonist of the film. Which would be okay, but his American accent is really awkward in this movie. It's very awkward, but whatever.
Sean, was that Shonda Miller? Or
Rod, who? The woman? Yeah. Rhonda Mitchell.
Rhonda Mitchell.
Yeah. Are you thinking of Sienna Miller?
I was kidding. You know what I'm talking about.
She popped up in the beginning of the movie.
Oh, yeah?
She's still in the world. Whatever, I'll spoil it. Fuck this. The movie's fucking terrible. Yeah, you shouldn't watch it anyway. But, yeah, I mean, at the end of the movie, like, he, like, gets his daughter out of the town, but he's like, I'm going to stay here because I told your mother once you're okay, that I'll go look for her. Because she's still in Silent Hill somewhere. Which is a cool setup. Like, it's kind of like part two, the game, but, and I haven't finished part two of the game, but there's like a dark, where that story goes, like what that story is about, is pretty dark, and this is not, it's not the same idea that this movie would have anyway. Yeah. And I mean, but that part too, you know, that storyline would work perfect for a movie. Like, a guy gets a letter from his dead wife, come meet me here, you know? Like, that's just an awesome setup in itself, and that's probably never going to happen, but whatever.
Yeah, we
probably. And, you know, it sucks, because they already utilized the imagery of what that game was. Like, the Pyramid Head was Silent Hill 2.
Yeah.
What was a big part of that, and they already utilized that as much as they could, so, yeah.
So overall, just a failure.
Yeah, it's really bad, like, laughably bad. There's, like, this one part, because there's the one male character in the film who, like, you know, goes to high school with her, And it's funny because she goes to high school and all the high schoolers look like they're in their 20s. Like, none of them look like high schoolers or high school kids, whatever. And then, you know, there's one boy who kind of likes her. He's trying to get to know her. And then what, he, like, reveals who he really is. And, like, he shows her something and reveals it. And then, like, there's this piece of music that plays. And I couldn't believe, like, that they were playing that piece of music. It was the cheesiest thing ever. And I had to rewind it and be like, this really just happened. And it's funny. It's good for a laugh, I guess. But yeah.
A la, like, Wicker Man, Nicolas Cage, good for a laugh.
Not quite as bad. But yeah. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. I haven't rated it yet, but I'm probably going to give it like 1 star.
In other words, not worth rating.
Yeah. And I saw Tangled because Cynthia had been bugging me to see this movie. And yeah, I wasn't really interested because it just felt like by the numbers.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it. I really loved it. I believe it came out the same year as Toy Story 3, and it is the better film. It should have won Best Picture that year. Best Animated Picture.
Nah.
No, I just really enjoyed it a lot. I thought the main girl was excellent. Rapunzel, right? What's the guy's name?
I don't know.
But I really enjoyed him, and I really enjoyed...
Flynn Rider.
Yeah, Flynn Rider. What's his real name?
I don't give a shit. Eugene.
Eugene. You know. You enjoyed this movie, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
No, I thought it was really good. And
But like you said, it felt like by the numbers.
No. That's what I was expecting. I thought, like, all the... You know, like, the story itself is fine. Like it, I don't know. It never felt, like, generic or by the numbers when I was watching it. Like, I just really thought the characters were really well done. Yeah. And, yo, like, I'm not sure what the witch lady who takes her, I don't know what her name was. Do you remember her name?
Mother Gothel.
She was excellent.
Yeah, she was.
She was a really good villain. And she was actually really, I found her really hot. For some reason, for an animated character.
You dirty dog.
I found her very attractive. Yeah, I liked it. Even the horse character.
The horse was funny.
Horse was funny. I loved how animated he was. Like, I mean, obviously literally, but just the way he didn't move like a horse. I thought that was pretty funny.
Maximus was his name.
Okay.
I love how I remember his name, even though I'm trying to downplay his movie. No, it wasn't good, but I remember
I would pretty much... I mean, I didn't give it a perfect rating, but... I loved it. I thought it was great.
One thing I will always remember whenever anyone thinks about says anything about Tangled, I will always remember how Tangled made Quentin Tarantino's number one film of that year.
That's what I was thinking when I was watching it. I'm like, Tarantino really liked this movie, and then I'm like, okay, it makes sense. Like, everything about it was like great. Like, there was nothing wrong with it at all.
There wasn't.
It really wasn't, you know.
But, like, it didn't have that same magic for me.
I guess if I would talk about, like, whenever the characters would break into song, like, I wasn't really digging that. No. Am I thinking about the right movie here? I don't recall liking the music that much. I did like Mother Knows Best. I liked her whole song and everything, but, no. I was getting it mixed up because I started watching James and the Giant Peach. And I thought the music in that was fucking terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The movie was okay, but I did not... I mean, I only watched probably like 40 minutes of it, but that's why I'm getting the music confused. Okay. But I don't recall like any music in Tangled aside from Mother.
That was best.
Really enjoyable. Once again, better than Toy Story 3.
You jerk. Anyways, okay, so what did I see? I saw a lot of Bob's Burgers, which is really funny, actually.
Yeah.
I love that little girl with the pink rabbit, you know, hat thing. Like, she's funny out of all... I mean, they're all really, really funny characters. I like in the first episode, where it's like the father... he's the main chef, but he needs to put his kids in charge and his oldest daughter, the 13-year-old Tina. It's like, Tina, I'm putting you as grill master. It's like, can you handle it? And she goes, oh, I don't know. It's like, I've been having this terrible rash in my vagina. It was like, are you telling me as my grill cook or as my daughter? Because I'll tell you one thing. It's like, if you tell me as my grill cook would never tell me that. If you tell me as my daughter, I don't want to hear that. Like, you redirect those comments to your mother. And then and the mother's like, oh, yeah, okay. So tell me, honey, what's going on? Let me see it. And the little sister with the pink ears, she goes, yeah, show us. We all want to see. And then when they all put their hands, I mean, the father, he's like, okay, let's do this, everybody. Let's do this, family. Everyone put their hands in. And he goes, well, not you, Tina. You take your hand back out. I thought that was hilarious. No, but I love the little sister because, like, even though she's the youngest, like, it seems like she's the most mature and much more aware than everyone else. This one episode I was watching, she gets her hat stolen from her. And she's trying to downplay it. She doesn't want none of her family members to know that it got stolen from her. Because she wants to resolve it on her own terms. And like, when she goes to school without her hat, like, all the kids start making fun of her. And there's one boy, and he's like, oh, he just says something corny. And she goes, oh, you're so clever. You're so funny. Did you come up with that all by yourself? And she, like, grabs his face and just, like, puts it close to her face. Like, you have such a freaking beautiful mind. And I love that. I love that. That even though you find someone totally stupid, you can just totally, like be sarcastic and say, you have such a beautiful mind, which I just used on Chris Palmer yesterday because he was using lame your mama jokes. He's like, man, dude, you're still with the lame your mama jokes? Like, you have such a fucking beautiful mind. Yeah, I just love that. But Bob's Burgers is really, really, really funny. I don't know if how much it's being appreciated, you know, generally.
I think it's doing okay. Like, it's... Yeah. I think it is. I don't know. Basing that on absolutely nothing, but yeah.
But it's by the same. It seems like it's by the same people who did home movies and whatnot, right? I mean, you seem to like.
Yeah, I've seen about two episodes of Bob's Burgers, and I found them hilarious. So I just, I don't know. Like I said, comedy is not my thing, kind of. So.
Yeah. That's interesting because, like, I share the same sentiments, but I mean, like, I put, like, drama and horror, like, before I do comedy.
Yeah.
That's interesting. What else have I seen? Well, I guess more South Park. I've seen the episode with...
No, I don't know.
Okay. Have you seen that episode of South Park where they're trying to take a picture of Britney Spears?
Mm-mm.
Okay. She's like really depressed, and like she ends up like shooting her face off of a shotgun, but she still survives the whole thing. So like throughout the rest of the show, yeah, Britney Spears would be like fucking half of her head just like gurgling and everything.
And like the boys
are just trying to you know, take her to a safe place where the paparazzi will leave her alone. Like, just leave Britney Spears alone. She doesn't have a head. It's hilarious, dude. Yeah. But besides that, I think that's the only thing I've seen.
Mm.
Yeah. Not much, dude. Mm. I've been working a lot.
Mm.
And drinking a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap, wrap, wrap.
Alrighty. Alrighty, guys. Well,
We're very tired here.
Yeah, I want to go to bed. yeah, guys, this has been episode number 22. We'll be back next week. We're going to do... We're going to be reviewing Warm Bodies, zombie love story, which I'm actually hearing good things about, surprisingly. So, hopefully... it's much better than Mama.
Anything. It's not hard to be much better than Mama.
No, no, no.
Oh man, well, number one, that was for me. Man, I always have like the worst luck with like movies I get really excited about.
Yeah.
Right? Anyway,
sure.
Anyway, that's a wrap, guys. Thank you for listening. If you are listening, have a good night. This is Rudy signing off.
All right, bye.
Wait, say your name, Jason.
Oh, I'm Jason. I guess you can contact us at thefilmclubpodcast@gmail.com. You can email us there. Yeah, we actually, if you're listening to the show, We do have subscribers, but if you're listening to the show, like, seriously, write in. It'd be really cool to have a reader mail segment at the end of these episodes.
It'll be really awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you want to tell us something crappy about...
Yeah, just tell me how much you hate me or you hate Rudy talking about South Park and Bob's Burgers and Futurama every week.
Fuck you.
Whatever. Whatever you guys want to say, we'll take it. So,
just anyway. Give it to us.
Yeah. All right, guys. Take care.
All right. Have a good night. Bye. Love you.
Song. But that shit that I